Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 711. I am Chris.
Get it, dude.
Joined by Tony.
I prefer my dragons on the rocks with the twist.
Not doubled.
Not doubles. No.
Earl is here.
Did you believe in the power of the double dragon?
No. We will get to that, though. Jeff is here as well.
For now.
Yeah, for now. We're not cutting you, Jeff.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You always have a job.
Yeah, I
think we don't pay well.
Just go back to this job. I don't need that supplemental income.
I look back now and go, we should have monetized this years ago in some way. Anyway, shit's on fire again, so that's great. But, you know, while it's been on fire, we played some games, and a big one that I think people were anticipating has come out. And I've played a little bit of it. Jeff's played a lot of it. Talking about Avowed. Tony, have you got a chance to play any of it?
I played maybe 45 minutes of it.
All right, so like the tutorial area.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Did you get scraps?
Did you get past the, did you get off like the shipwreck island?
No, I'm still on the shipwreck island.
Okay. So you're still in the tutorial. And, this isn't really a game Earl, plays, but Earl, have you looked at it yet?
Oh no, I was informed last week that I should play Indiana Jones first.
Yes,
I would probably disagree with that, but
Earl should play Indiana Jones first. You should.
Wait, Jeff, I thought you ended up begging Indiana Jones.
I did. I'm just saying that
that's more Jeff. Of an
Earl game then.
Yeah, I end up liking it okay, but I am like way more into this right off the bat, like easily.
Well, I think because I have Indiana Jones installed on my Xbox as well.
Yeah, well, that's a consideration.
It's already there. You might as well play.
That's why I played it.
That is why you went back to it, yes.
Yes.
So yeah, Avowed, the new role-playing game from Obsidian, very much in the style of like a Bethesda-type first-person RPG, like Elder Scrolls or Fallout, but more along the lines of like Elder Scrolls, as it's fantasy based, set in the Pillars of Eternity universe, something like a few hundred years after Pillars of Eternity 2. So I guess nothing that happened in those games really matters here, but you play a godlike who, I don't know, I started creating those characters and that was weird as shit.
Yeah, I was like, why do I have stuff on my face?
Growing out of their heads.
I don't want stuff on my face.
You can turn it off. Like there's a toggle. And I think I might because I couldn't do the face shit. Like I was like, I just can't. But I did leave like the weird head thing going on. But I don't think I like that either. Every time it turns to my character, I just look like a clown. I don't really know what a godlike is. Right. You guys
hasn't
figured
been
that
explained
out?
To me yet. No, okay.
I feel like you have to know. I mean, this is how I feel about any of these things. But like, if you know Pillars of Eternity, it probably like all makes sense. But it's just like you're just kind of thrown in, and then like I quickly like deduce things in my head and just put it in the, like, okay, there's a bad thing. There's some sort of plague on the land and I'm going to fucking do something about it. And like, this is how I play like almost any RPG. It's like after a few hours, I've kind of lost grand of the plot. Like, I'm just like, what? The only one that like really kept me, I mean, you guys know how I feel about stories and games. And this is like part of it. It's just like, I don't know what the fuck any of this is. Baldur's Gate somehow did a good job of like keeping me. I mean, the writing was just so good that like kept me invested in, you know, like, and it was like ultimately a pretty simple story, right? Like there's these, you know, things trying to take over, they put them in your head, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, it, there wasn't too much to it. This, like, I don't know if it's something more than, like, there's some sort of rot going through everything. I don't know what it is, but that seems to be the plot, right? Am I
yeah. Far off here? Yeah, it's like, I mean, I'm only, I don't know, 3.5 hours in. But yeah, you like, it seems like this kind of disease or whatever plague is like infecting both the land and people, and it makes like, people and creatures go crazy.
It's like the movie Annihilation. You all seen that?
Yeah.
The one, the
bear. I know, right? Like, it's kind of
bear. There's a bear. You'll fight a bear that's all like fucked
yeah,
up.
And wonky yeah, too. Exactly. Like, yeah, yeah.
Like one of the sub bosses.
No, I always get that in Arrival confused. They're not similar movies at all.
No, it's the same
name.
Yeah. So I think you're right, Jeff. It's like some sort of weird kind of plague thing.
It's a typical like. It's like the plot of every Nintendo game for like the last 5 years. Oh, there's a corruption spreading. You have to stop. You know.
Yeah, and you've been sent by some like emperor king dude from the mainland out to this. They call it the Living Lands or something. It's like seems like it's kind of like a lawless frontier. And you're like sent out there to like investigate it and possibly fix it. Also, you're getting visions anytime you go near a rock. So it's one of those. It's a Bethesda-ishy first-person RPG.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's not like I have a ton to say about it, because it is, like, exactly what you would expect. You know what I mean? Like, it's that game.
Depends. It does feel very RPG-y. As opposed to action-y. Like, I feel like when you push a button, you can feel like calculations being made.
Okay. I guess I can see what you're saying. I guess one big distinction I would take from, just, you know, like Skyrim or something like that, is I feel like the combat feels like a little more weighty and like deliberate and considered. Like, especially if you were just playing on the normal difficulty, I had to like bump it down because I was like, Jesus, man, like I'm just like under fucking powered in every battle. I will say if you turn it down like just one level, even it becomes pretty easy, which is how Skyrim always felt to me, is like way too easy.
Yeah. So there's like a really weird kind of robust upgrade system for your equipment and
For sure,
like here as and like what I found is like I upgraded my like I haven't found a weapon I particularly like. I'm still using the axe you find on the like the tutorial area, and I've upgraded that twice and I'm doing fine now in combat. Like I'm being able to hit, and once you start, you know, leveling up, you'll unlock skills and you can level those skills up and they do damage and stuff. Like, you become more powerful as you play, which does make combat feel a little bit better. Yeah. I think
it is in some ways very reminiscent of a lot of modern RPGs, where it's like you're meant to feel weak early on, you know, like you got nothing, basic sword, basic attack, and you can get rocked pretty easily. Fun story about the weapons, Chris. So if you come across a side quest called, I think it's called Dawn Treader.
Okay.
Do it. It's nice and long. And at the end of it, you get a flaming sword. And I was so fucking stoked about this. I was like, hells yeah. It's doing nearly as much damage as my two-handed great hammer that I was using. And it's a one-handed sword. Also, it's doing fire damage. I'm like, this is fucking amazing, right? Less than an hour later, I find a random loot drop, like in a chest or something, I find something that's like 3 times stronger. Like, I went from I had to switch to it because I was like, this is like inarguable. Like, I think
from what you had,
yeah, I think my flaming sword after like 2 upgrades was doing 46 physical damage. And then I found a fine great sword that was doing 150 physical damage without even being upgraded. And I was like, well, as great as it is, like, as much as I love seeing the fire come off my sword, and like, and how happy I was that I did this like side quest that got me it. I was like, it was immediately obsolete. Like I'm telling you, like within an hour, it was obsolete. I was like, damn it. I still recommend doing the quest. I don't know. And again, maybe you won't. Like, the thing that I found was just, it was completely random. It was like just me exploring. I wasn't even like, I was like heading towards the mission, and like the way I'm playing this is like, as I'm heading towards the mission, if I see anything that looks remotely interesting, I'm fucking going and checking it out, like a cave or, you know, something that looks like a tower or something, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, let's check it out. And I found that the fine greatsword in that, and it was like, it felt pretty random. Maybe it's always in that chest, but I couldn't tell you where the fuck it is now. But yeah, it's probably my most interesting story so far. Like, I'm like 13 hours in, which is funny to say because this came out like 2 days ago. Like, other than that, so far, it's like, I just feel like it is very similar to Skyrim. I would disagree with a lot of, like, a lot of the impressions I saw of this game, like, even, like, way before it came out, is that the, like, oh, this is not a good looker. This looks like shit. Like, and I think it looks great. Like, I don't know. I think it's, like, a very pretty game. Like,
so it's a little mixed for me. I think environmentally, it looks wonderful. Like, it's very pretty. Like, very, like, the colors pop. Like, it's very bright.
Yeah.
Like, the character models kind of look like shit. Like, the Kai, your Garrosh, he's voiced by Garrosh from
Mass Effect. Yeah, he looks like painted or something.
Yes, he looks fucking awful. And, like, maybe it's just him, because, like, human characters don't look that bad. But he, like, every time he talks, I'm like, oh, God, you look awful.
A lot of what I saw prior to release was, I think it was like Sony people being like, look at Horizon Zero Dawn, and then look at this. This is like, Microsoft considers this a game, and it's like, I don't know, when I'm playing it, it's just like beautiful looking, like when I'm walking around. And like, yeah. I guarantee if you compared it to Skyrim, it's impressive for sure. And it's a little like style. It's definitely more stylized than Skyrim. Like, it's, you know, this little bit of like cartooniness to it, but like, I don't know. I think it like looks really incredible. I'm enjoying, again, I think the combat feels like an upgrade from Skyrim.
It is funny that like we're using Skyrim as like a barometer for it, which makes sense.
Well, it's the template of what these games are. Like,
yeah. You know. but also, I like was like, because like you mentioned Skyrim to me last night, like, you know, it feels better. And I was like, it does a little bit. And I was like, yeah. And I like looked up Skyrim 2011. Like,
no, I know.
14 years old. But I would hope that game in 2025 feels, if we were like, nah, yeah, Skyrim's still kind of like the gold standard for that shit. Like, be like,
in a lot of ways, it is.
Fucked up. Yeah. Like, exploration. And
yeah.
I will say this about Vald. Having just come off of Starfield, where every time you open a door or anything, like, it loads, like, had to load you into a new area. This seems very seamless. Like, I'm not getting a lot of loading screens. Like, I open doors into houses, and it's not like there's no loading screen to a house. It's a door just fucking opens.
You know, and this occurred to me tonight, too, when I was playing it. It's kind of a similar thing, except I was going, coming off of Indiana Jones, it's kind of cool. Just press X and the fucking door opens, and I don't have to like pretend I'm turning a doorknob. Like, sorry, just throwing a little shade on Indiana Jones.
I didn't have a problem with the door opening.
It's just it was such a pet peeve early on in that game to me, where I was like, what are you doing? Like, why is this, like, whose idea?
Like, someone, I love, like, opening the doorknobs. It changed my life.
Someone like really thought that was like adding something to that game. And I don't know. Like, let me press X to open the fucking door and let's call it a day.
Something else I liked was, so I was running, like, cause there doesn't seem to be like a stamina. Like in Skyrim, you run and like your stamina depletes.
There's stamina, but it's
it's more like in combat, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can just like run. But what I noticed was like when I'm running, my character's running. Like, you can see their hands, like, moving up and down. Yeah. Like, they're, and I jumped onto a ladder, and, like, they grabbed the ladder, and, like, the animation. So, like, the animations are nice. Like, they feel good. Like, that stuff's all really cool and helps make it a little more immersive. I mean, I know you're not invested in the story. You don't care about the story. Like, I wish I knew what the fuck was going on. It's like, why am I doing this? Like, what? There's like
plague. That's it. What else
do you need? Yeah. Like,
because that rat in the beginning changed into an evil rat. Remember?
Why? It was loading like in, and I guess they were given like some like preamble monologue about, I probably should have been paying attention to it, 100% on me. I was just kind of like looking at my phone, and I don't know if I missed like important shit. Like, I'm like, I'm an envoy for this, like, what? Just like getting context clues from like your little companion that fished you out of the ocean.
Like, yeah, it really, I don't
really know what's going on.
It really does feel like it drops you in. I get the one other thing I would point out that I think feels like somewhat different from anything else in this like subgenre is that there is like a feature of it is the platforming. I feel like there's always like structures.
It's decent. It's decent enough. Like,
I was talking to Sean and he was like, dude, you know, it would be so great if there's something like a perk you could get where you get a double jump. He's like, it would be fucking Metroid Prime. And I was like, honestly, like he like nailed it. Like, it would feel like Metroid. Like, if you had a double jump in this, it would feel like that. Like, there's so many structures that you have to like platform your way up. And God, it would feel cool if you like, I haven't looked up if there is a double jump. I'm guessing there's not, because I feel like I would have saw that by now. But Sean, that's a good idea. They should hire you.
And like the it part of the platforming, they do a good job of like signposting, like kind of where you should be kind of doing it.
But
it's not like here's the white paint or here's the yellow paint or
no. You like can just look at a structure and be like, well, there's the scaffolding on the side of it. This is like how I will get up, and then you just figure way up from there. And that's the other thing. Like, I think it's cool too. This is clearly not as big as Skyrim, and it's broken up into like zones, you know, so it's not like one giant open world, but so far I'm okay with it. And I will especially be okay with it if it's like even more dense than Skyrim. Cause like it is like, so far it's like, if I see like a building, I'm like, man, I wonder what the fuck is up there. And it looks like there's a way to get up there. Usually there's a treasure chest up there. You know what I mean? Like, usually there is like some reward at the end of it. Now, what's usually in the treasure chest is, you know, resources, because this game is very like, based on
upgrading,
using the workbench. Yeah. Using your workbench to upgrade your, but ultimately that means those like leaves and pieces of, you know, steel chunks or whatever you're getting, like, they're ultimately meaningful because you're going to want them, you know?
Some things from the inventory too that are good and bad. So it looks like you can just like throw stuff to your stash at any time.
I much prefer if you hold the button, you just
scrap it.
And, yeah,
like, get the resources. But like if you want to, like, you know, So like, and you can send your resources there too. Like, so because there is a encumbrance level. So
I haven't bumped against it yet. Cause I'm a fighter. So I keep investing in might. So like my might is like level 7 already.
So you can carry like a bunch
of stuff. Yeah. It's just like, and I'm good about like scrapping common swords and stuff that like I pick up every common sword, but like I'll scrap it right away. I'm very good about like, just keeping it like nice and neat in there.
So, the thing that I don't like, and maybe you can tell me if I'm missing something, Jeff, is I can't figure out how to drop something. Like, once I pick it up.
I just scrap it. So maybe there's a way.
I accidentally picked up, like, rotten cabbage or, like, there's rotten food.
Yeah,
and if you eat the food, it will poison you.
Yeah, I'm good on that. I just leave it. I don't put that in my pocket. Well,
so like I accidentally I was like, how do I get rid of this? And then I accidentally ate it because I was pressing buttons trying to get rid of it.
At that point,
I'd like, fuck.
I would just stash it. I don't know.
Stash
it or cook it and fucking.
Evidently, if you cook it, there like you can create potions and stuff that like antidotes and so there's a reason to have it. It's just I didn't
it feels like you should be able to drop.
Yeah. I didn't want it right away because like I was still in the tutorial area, and then I ended up fighting that sub boss. Like there's the tutorial boss, the rage knight or whatever, and I'm poisoned, so I'm like running away as my health is depleting, and he's chasing after me. It's like this is fucking miserable. And it's like that tutorial battle is supposed to kind of teach you how to, you know, block and, utilize your powers. And instead I'm running around trying to survive long enough that the poison doesn't kill me.
Funny.
And the one other thing, and it's not a big deal. It is kind of like a little bit on the immersive side though, where it's like a deterrent is, coming off of Starfield, you could pick up fucking everything. Anything. You pick up a fucking stapler on a desk.
Yeah, yeah. Fallout's really good about that, too.
And this is, like, you can only pick up specific stuff. Like, yeah,
you know, you can see it. Like, it's visually, like, obvious.
Like, you can turn on the loot shimmer, and it'll kind of tell you if you could pick it up or not. And I need it on there because you can't interact with everything. So it's like sometimes I don't know what I can interact with if I don't have that loot shimmer on. It's not a big deal. It's just like kind of weird coming from a game like that to this where it's
yeah, like, some of these types of games like you said, you pick up like everything, like yeah. anything, and that can become overwhelming. But it's ultimately all resources. It's all wood.
Yeah. Jeff, you're further in than me, so I just got a second companion. Stick with you, or do they like because, like, right now it seems like story wise, like that? So I have Kai, who's the fish dude,
and Marius,
and yeah, Marius the dwarf. And like, but he, like, I just kind of hired him on to be my tracker, and like, he's helping with this storyline quest. Once that's over, does he just go hang out at camp, or is he always...
No, he will go with you.
Okay.
And then after that, it kind of works like Baldur's Gate, where, like, I just found a third. You can only take two with you at a time. So what it becomes is you send one person to camp, and then, like...
That's what I like the idea of... Yeah. I like having two people out there with you, though, or having a party.
Oh,
that's
sure.
different. That's way different than, you know, the Bethesda stuff, which is one companion,
and they have their own skills that you can unlock. Yeah, it's I dig it.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
I'm not micromanaging their skills so much, and I'm like, I am not like commanding them to use their skills. So I'm just assuming that they're using them. Like, I don't know. It would take up too many like button. Like I already have a slot for my potions. You know what I mean? Like there's only four directionals, so
you can use the, like, I guess you press LB or brings up like a radio.
You know, I mean, you're gonna be bumping up against it like real quick with like. So I buy all their stuff for them. Like, I've unlocked like some of the new guy just got unlocked everything that they could do, and I'm hoping that they use it again. I'm not really having trouble because I bumped down the difficulty. I might bump it back up. I was just like at the beginning just felt so weak.
I understand.
Are you a fighter?
I'm a ranger.
Okay.
I really like the bow. In this, like, it powers up. Like, I guess I leveled up something and now it like kind of charges this like purple magic energy. And that's neat. The bow feels really like it feels impactful when it hits.
Sort of the melees. Like, that's, like, I think one of the biggest pluses of the game is, like, how it feels, the combat. It feels good. It feels weighty. It feels like you're actually fighting shit. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm just going, like, zambonying over like a crowd of enemies. I actually have to be like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's like in Skyrim, like you would kind of like level up and get your equipment up, and you would just go up against like a mercenary or something and just wail on them, and they would quickly their health bar would just deplete. Like, but it never felt like you were swinging any, like you could swing an axe, like a hand axe or a sword. They both felt exactly the same.
And the reason I asked if you're a fighter is because like this game kind of gives you shouts right away. Like what would be the shouts in Elden or in Skyrim?
Skyrim, yeah.
And one of the early ones for the fighter, which I still have mapped and I've now maxed it out, is just like this. Like it's called, I think it's called charge. Like you just like you can like close the gap between you and an enemy, like in no, like you just fly across the map at them and fucking slam them into the fucking air. They go flying and they usually die, or like if not die, even if it's like a boss, it's like taking a huge chunk of their health with just one button press. I'm like, this is great. I fucking love it.
Yeah, it's are you in the second zone now or?
Well, what's the second zone? I think I might be in the third.
Okay, I'm still in like the first area, so I don't really know. I just knew there were different zones.
I've been in an area called something stair, like Elder Stair or something stair. I can't think of what the first word is anymore.
I'm just like interested to see how far in you are, because the game's just come out, so it's hard to get a feel for. There's not a lot of data on it, on like how long to beat or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. I would assume this is like maybe similar to the Outer Worlds, but like, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get a lot of time out of this game by just getting distracted on the way to things. And then, of course, you know, if I like it enough, which I don't know about you guys. I feel like I'm the most positive about it. If I like it enough, you know, there's always like, hey, I could try the Ranger or, you know, whatever, like try out another character.
So that's something like I have bought fighter skills for my Ranger. Like,
yeah, you could totally cross. Like
there's a skill for the Ranger that like, basically if you get hit, you take damage, it will, it's like a regeneration skill. So it'll regen your health. So I was like, yeah, that seems useful. I'm gonna grab that and upgrade that, because it does give you the ability to upgrade it to 100% regeneration.
They kind of give you like everything from every class kind of right away. It's just your stats are built more towards one class. It's kind of like how From Software will do it. But like, yeah, very. Early on, like, you know, you have your primary weapon loadout and then you have a secondary. So my secondary now is the grimoire, the wand, and I could do like four different elemental like magic spells. And even with my intellect at like level 2 right now, they're fucking strong. And of course, and then they'll also get you past like any puzzle that you would need like other party members who could do magic or.
Yeah, if you need to like burn a bramble like, or something,
I could do it my own. Yeah. I could do it. Like I don't. Yeah, and like, but like, dude, if I unleash like the fire spell on a bear, it just like fucking disintegrates him. It's like, see ya. And that's with not, you know, I'm not a magic based character at all. Like, and I'm not focusing on it at all. And it's nice to have that in my back pocket, like to at least do. And honestly, I don't know about you. I don't know if you have these spells or you mess with them, like. It made me think that maybe the wizard might be an awesome, or whatever they call it, and this like might be an awesome way to go with it.
Yep, I haven't messed with any of the spells yet. I've just
they're pretty powerful. Like
I've just been using, so I have like this one ranger skill where it'll call up like roots that will lock the enemy in place
for a little bit of time.
And you can upgrade that and it'll lock the enemy in place and inflict poison damage. So like that's kind of how I've been operating right now. But I have, you know, I've only played 3.5 hours. Like I'm only on like maybe what the third big main quest at this point, like trying to find out who tried to kill me.
Yeah. I'd say, I guess, you know, one obvious piece of advice is just like get those side quests, because those are kind of like the fun parts of these games, I think. Like, and there is a decent amount, it seems like, in it. Like, it seems pretty dense for being like a smaller scale Skyrim.
There's like a whole bounty system too. Like, you can go, you can be like a bounty hunter, and like there's a bunch of side quests with that. I would also recommend talking to your party members back at camp. If you talk to them enough, they will offer to train with you, which will give you a permanent stat boost.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
I
was talking to them anyways, because when I'd be walking around the overworld, they have exclamation points like, annoying the fuck out of me. I'm like, what is this? And I had to like Google it. I was like, they want to talk to you, but you have to talk to them at camp. I'm like,
yeah,
fuck you. I hate this. Get this off my screen.
So if you talk to, well, I've only done it with Kai, but if you talk to him at camp and like kind of like exhaust his stuff, like he'll eventually give you the option to train with him.
I don't think I did that.
And then once you train with him, like, so I trained with him and like got a constitution bonus of 2, plus 2 to my, to my health. So, and like you gotta have a choice. Like there's like, oh, like, you know, Kai, you're really strong in battle. Like, how are you able to kind of like withstand the damage? Or, oh, you're really good at like swinging a sword really hard. Like, how do you, and I assume if I chose that one, it would be like plus 2 to strength. But I was like, how are you taking damage? Plus 2 to constitution.
I think I maybe passed, maybe missed that opportunity, because I've talked to him a bunch now and I never got it. So maybe if I like dig in deep into the dialogue, I could still do it. I don't know, but
yeah, hopefully
that's literally like free to like,
yeah,
2 free levels for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to spend that money or that the experience on.
Yeah. And it like helps out, especially early on.
Yeah.
Oh, all of a sudden, like I've upped my, my health by like 15%. So, it seems pretty neat. I'm sure Jeff and I will be playing more of it. Tony probably will crack at it at some point.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I'm like a pretty big fan of it so far. Honestly, I think it's like one of the better Microsoft games in a while. Also, what like, Earl, you're not like you don't like this type of game?
Again, it's not that I don't. I just never really paid him. Though the one thing I have seen from this that I am actually curious about, this is from Obsidian, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's like a reference to their classic game, Alpha Protocol in here.
Yes.
Their classic game, Alpha Protocol.
If you, it's for stealth kills. So if you get 15 stealth kills, it's a Alpha something protocol.
Alpha Strike Protocol or something.
Yeah. They also have, if you kill 10 spiders and 10 beetles,
I got that.
What's the,
I forgot the name. Grounded?
Grounded, yeah.
There's is that them?
Yep.
That's I had no idea. Okay.
So, I don't know if there's more. Arthur Geese posted the one about Alpha Protocol. And then I saw somebody post something about Grounded. So I'm wondering if maybe they have anything else in there. Because they also did South Park. So I wonder if there's maybe like a stick of truth.
Oh, that's right. They did do South Park. Oh, my God. Yeah.
The first South Park game. Yeah. But yeah. So I wonder if there's maybe a achievement that ties to that one as well. So it'd be funny.
Yeah. One of those things that I'm just like, always so fascinated because somebody tagged me specifically in a message about.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It's like, you in fact did a full solo episode.
Yep.
For us on Alpha Protocol.
Talking about the classic game Alpha Protocol.
I think Obsidian is like a really good developer, man. Like, I don't know. Like, everything I've played by them, I like.
Yeah, you played Alpha Protocol.
No. Maybe I have to go back and.
No, don't. Don't do it to it.
It's a really good game.
There are.
If you hate yourself.
Things. I like Obsidian games. Yeah. They always seem to be, Stick of Truth actually was very, it wasn't unpolished. There's always like some level of unpolished with an Obsidian game. This, I haven't come across it yet.
I haven't either.
That generally seems to be the problem with
it's them. Like you look at Fallout New Vegas. I don't know if I lay that all on them. It's like they're working in an established thing, you know, and
Rush.
You see, they seem to get less time and resources too to do their games, and that they make them more interesting than like the main studios. I've always had like pretty big respect for Obsidian. I think ever since New Vegas, where I was like, yeah, and there's like problems with this, but like they got rushed to do this. You know what I mean? Like, given way less time and money, and like they kind of turned out something more interesting than Fallout 3, like in some ways. So,
like they did,
I've just always been a fan of them. Like, they did
Knights of the Old Republic 2, which lots of people love, and like think of, like thing is with them is like they think it's a better story than the first one, but the game is just like kind of was pushed out really quickly.
I mean, that's
like they cut the ending. That was the whole like thing with that game. They cut the ending because they couldn't get it out in time.
Alpha Protocol, like Earl says, like I think there's some like really cool things in there, but it's also like highly flawed because Sega kind of forced them to push that out after the first delay on it. Anyway, this one seems very polished, which is nice.
Yeah, I'm really liking it.
Earl, did you get a chance to play Indy?
No. I will put it on my notes that you try this weekend.
Did you get to try anything? Did you play anything this past week?
I don't think anything that I didn't talk about last week. Like I said, I've been going through my itch.io account and realizing how many games I've bought over time with some of their various bundles and stuff like that. Right now, Audrey, I don't think I've ever played this one. I'm trying out WarioWare 4.
Because it
just came to the NSO GBA event tier. It's a pretty fun platformer. So I guess I'm thinking of a different one because I thought 3 and 4 were the ones where like he's invincible. You can't really kill him, and that's part of the puzzle. This one's more of a platformer where he does have his, you know, what makes him a bit more Sonic than Mario is his brutish strength and his just dodging into everything, which works for our boy Wario. Different abilities happens when certain enemies attack him and stuff. So it's a fun little game.
Yeah. I don't know if I played that one or not, but the 2D Warios I have played, I do like. I just feel like they're so like overlooked or something. Like, I don't know.
I think mostly because it was a handheld franchise.
Yeah. There was one. Was it on the Switch that was Shake It? Or was that a Wii game?
That was a Wii game.
Was there one on the Switch, or am I like just mixing that one in
my head? I think it's all you've been WarioWare games on the
Switch. I have played one of the GBA 2D. It was probably that one, and it was probably like on 3DS, and, you know, Virtual Console or whatever on 3DS, and it was like solid. Like, I feel like Wario is super underrated. I always loved there was a GameCube one that was 3D.
Wario World?
Yeah, that was made by Treasure, and like nobody gave a fuck about it. And I was like, this game is great. Like, yeah, it's like a definitely smaller scale like game, but it's fucking cool. Wario. Justice for Wario.
I think I've played Wario Land.
It's pretty good.
I don't know if I played 3 and 4.
Yeah, and it's also a weird franchise because the first one is the Mario Land 3.
Yeah.
It's a sub-series to a sub-series. There's a spin-off of the Mario Land game. They are underrated. And yes, I mean, I enjoy WarioWare, but it would be nice to kind of get an actual granted, I guess the flip side is I don't know if Nintendo needs any more
2D platformers.
Yeah.
They do.
Listen, I agree with that to an extent, but also I know
I would play it.
I would love to see Wario World 2. Like, I would be all over it. I thought the first, like, again, that was a game that, like, nobody played or bought, and it was really good. Like,
that might be why we're not revisiting.
Yeah, it's just a slightly different flavor for, you know, that they make it feel a little different because of how he moves and this and that, and you know, how the levels are designed, and they're still good.
So, Wikipedia, and take it with a grain of salt because it's Wikipedia, but it says Wario World was a commercial success.
Okay, selling, well, where's part two? Call selling treasure over. Up. What's this, treasure doing?
I was going to say it's probably because it was like treasure and not like Nintendo. Like maybe treasure wanted.
Treasure's awesome, dude. Like you're such an awesome developer. Like get them to do another one.
Now this was saying it was a commercial success, and it's
sold 300 copies.
But yeah, I mean, again, you know, this is a GameCube.
400,000 between the U.S. and Japan.
Yeah, it was gonna get, it's not going to get a Mario budget.
That's fine. No, I don't expect, you know, I don't expect their spin-off platformers to be like Mario, but maybe a little better than that Princess Peach. But I guess I didn't play the Princess Peach one. I just looked at videos and said no. You guys still stand by the Princess Peach was good?
It was fine.
I was going to say, I didn't play
it. I play it. It's fine. Wouldn't say it's good. It's not like this is trash either, though. So
I would say like all of the Wario.
And also, I think that's again understood its demographic. It was
nobody. Demographic of nobody.
It was young kids.
You know what young kids play? I'm going to. You guys, I mean, you guys, Roblox. Some of you guys, yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, some of you guys have kids, so you know, they don't play any of that shit. They play Roblox, they don't fucking know any of it. Just like, know. They have no culture, their fucking culture is dead.
Well, they culture have culture, is dead. It's just different than what we grew up on. I mean, but part of it is it's we nothing. Grew up on it's that.
So sad.
So, besides Wario Land 4, Earl, you play anything else?
I don't think so.
Any exciting board games from this past weekend?
Oh, I played a few. There was one that I really enjoyed. Oh, yeah, because Chris and I met up this weekend while he was in New York. I played a game called Framecraft, which is a... I mean, it's an engine building game, as all games are secretly, where you are.
Still recording.
Oh, I thought he sucked in my mic. Yeah,
Jeff's still recording. He's recording.
You're like a dragon or a dragon tamer, and you're going around collecting dragon. Then going to shops to get like you know different perks and items, and as you get those items. You can trade them in for victory points. You could trade them in for better dragons, etc. And then some of the dragons have hidden quests that you can complete. And when you complete those, you get victory points. I came in third out of fourth. Very cute game. There's another one that I played that I hated myself for because I had a ton of fun, but I was terrible at it. It's a dexterity game. And I think that's one of the newer things that's popped up in board games, and I could be wrong. Maybe there's been a ton of them, and I just not paid attention to it. And I am going to do this, probably do this injustice. I think it's called something like Dropolia. And essentially, you have, I think, five items in your hand. You have a die, you have a ring. You have a little fat square thing and something else. And the idea is like if somebody flips over a card and you with one hand, you have to drop just the pieces that are on the card. If you drop anything else, you have to pick it up. And again, whoever picks it up first, whoever drops them off then has to pick up the point, and then you score a point for that round. So when you score a point, you get a bell. And the bell goes into your hand now. So the thing with the bell is the bell can't drop out of... Anytime the bell drops out of your hand, you lose a point. So okay. I won more hands than anybody else. But for the life of me, I cannot keep those damn bells in my hand. Because what happens is, like, your hands, it's such a very casual, fun game. But it gets so, like, tense that your hands start getting sweaty and stuff gets, you know, like, you open up your palm and, like, stuff is stuck in between the knuckles and all of this. And you can't really, like, adjust because you're using one hand. There was one time I was, because, like, you know, you shake it up in between rounds in your hand. One time I'm shaking it up and I put the fist. I didn't even know. The bell shoots out like in the between his face. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? But it was a ton of fun. I actually do want to pick it up. That's the iFood game. And like I said, I won a ton of rounds. Just could not keep those blasted bells in my hand. Could have cheated, but on a system.
Fair enough. Well, If you figure out, if you end up picking it up, let us know how to spell it, and take a look at it.
We'll hold you.
Tony, did you play anything this week?
Oh, yeah. I played a number of things, but the thing I have to announce before anything, so I've been playing a lot of NBA 2K,
mm-hmm.
and like over my life, not just this year, but also
for years now.
Over my life.
And I've been chasing this goal, this thing that I have never, ever done. I always play the My Career mode, and I've always wanted to go into a game and outscore the entire other team in an NBA.
Oh, like as one person.
As one player.
You want to drop like 75 points, and they only score 60.
Exactly. So that's the goal. Except when you start to get really ahead in these games...
Yeah, it's like rubber banding. Yeah.
When you start to get really far ahead in these games, they take you out.
Oh,
so, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, because
go home.
That's how you would do it in an NBA game. Like that.
You would sit your players. Yeah.
You'd sit your
good. Like, no, I want to mark this guy.
right. I want to put on more points. Well, it just so happened that for some reason, like there were a couple players on my team who were injured. Or whatever. So I was playing this game and I had put up like 80 points through three quarters and they took me out. I was so mad because the other team was not scoring a lot of points. And then they put me back in. I don't know. I have no idea why they put me back in with like 6 minutes to go. I'm like, well, sorry, rest of players on my team. I'm going to be taking all the shots. So I ended up scoring 101 points. I'd never scored that many points in a game before.
Jesus. How much did the rest of your team score?
We ended up with 148 points.
Okay.
My player put up an absurd stat line, by the way. He had a quadruple double. He had 13 steals and 11 rebounds and like 12 assists or something like that. It was insane. But so like I put up 101 points. The other team has 100. And they have the ball at the end, and they're trying to score. And I end up like tipping the ball away, getting a steal at the very end
to keep it nice.
Yes, yes. So that was awesome. My victory. I have finally done it now. Now I can retire from NBA 2K. Except that I'm playing it right now.
It's been all this time. You're finally like, I've done it.
Yes. So I played that, but I've also been playing a lot more Civ 7. That mm-hmm. game is great. I am enjoying quite a bit. So I mentioned this last time. So the game is divided into like ages.
Yes.
So you start off in antiquity, and like as stuff happens during the age, it starts like a clock. Like there's a percentage clock. And as the clock gets like really high, like really close to the end, like 75% or so, in each age, there's like a crisis. So like at the end of antiquity, it's like the decay of civilization, like everything's falling apart. And so you have like these challenges, like all these like bad effects that are being applied to all the civilizations until you get to the end of the age. At which point it like reboots everything. Like it reboots the whole world. All the cities stay there, but like all the independent city states get erased and replaced by new ones. And like are moved around on the map. So like that stuff is all different. Any wars that are going on, like you're a new civilization now. So all those wars get canceled. And all your troops get moved back to your home territories. And you're basically like start like at the beginning of the new age, it's like a new starting a new game almost.
Okay.
And then the second age is the age of exploration. And like there are like quest lines in the game now. That determine, you know, victory points and how well you're doing and that kind of thing. And right. Each age has a different set of quest lines. So like in antiquity, like the military one is, you know, pretty simple. Just conquer your enemies, right? Because that's all you could manage. In the age of exploration, it's like explore overseas, like founding colonies in other countries. So it gives you like different goals that make you play the game differently, which I think is super, super cool. And then at the end of age of exploration, the crisis. Is the Black Death. And you're like sending out like there's like a plague doctor unit now that you can send to like cure your cities at the Black Death, and like all of the tiles end up like stained with like this chemical death stuff, and your units are like dying. And you're just like, please end age. I need to move on to the next one because I'm sick of dealing with this plague.
How long does it take the doctor to kind of like heal a city or
so as soon as he gets there, he like heals a certain number of tiles in the city. Like cities can be pretty large. They could like have like 50 tiles.
Yeah,
so he'll heal like 16 tiles. The problem is that once he does that, like the unit disappears. Like
oh.
It's a single use thing, so then you have to keep building them.
It's like send an army of plague doctors out.
Exactly. Like I you know, haven't playing the game through the game for the first time. I'm like, oh god, I need to like no more military units. We're building plague doctors now.
Tony's army of plague doctors.
Army of plague doctors. I mean, there was that, and there was also the army of priests I sent out to convert the world to the religion of Sfeel. Which I think I talked about last time. maybe I didn't. Like, so my kids were over while I was playing this weekend, and like I got to found a religion, and they're like, oh, we want to name it. So they named it after the Pokemon Sfeel. So I was converting the world to the worship of this like Sfeel ball Pokemon. Sfeelism.
It's good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And then I played more forgetting the name of the orc back. Last left orcs must die. The game crashed.
Death crap.
On me. It hasn't crashed since then. I played a lot of it this weekend, so it's a lot more stable now that they've patched it a few times.
Good.
And I'm quite enjoying it. These games are fun. It's just nice to impale orcs and kill them.
Nice.
Some of the new traps are cool. There's one that like you can put it in the ceiling that coats the orcs in molten gold, which I think is funny. There's also like they added.
Does it turn them into like gold statues or?
Oh yeah, they're walking. They're walking along. They're like sort of gilded. And then if you kill them, you can get coins because now they're, you know, made of gold.
That's funny.
They also added these plants that you can put on the ground. They're like thorns. But they're like vampire thorns. So like you put down like one square of thorns. And like the more the orcs walk over it and the more damage they do, the more the thorns grow. So like I've been like strategically putting them out at the very beginning of like the first wave. And then you get to the end and you notice like that one square of thorns you put out is now like 40 squares of thorns. And like the orcs are all like taking instant damage because they're walking across this field of thorns as they try to get to you. Quite amusing.
Fun. So I have a friend that has not upgraded to current systems. So he's still rocking an Xbox One. And playing games with him is kind of a pain in the ass because he doesn't buy new games either. Also, they're not making games for the Xbox One anymore. So we were trying to find something to play. I've been like, you know, I'll fucking buy you like the Handsome Collection consistently goes on sale. I was like, I'll buy you that. Like, we'd have like a bunch of games. Like, nah, I don't want to play that. Like, he has Game Pass, so me, him, and another one of our friends, we ended up on Anthem.
Oh God.
Yeah. it's a 3-player game, so it worked out kind of for that. That's a weird, I mean, I think we've talked about it when it came out 5 years ago. Weird game. Like, just really strange in structure. It works for what I need for, you know, playing with two other people, kind of like going through and doing that. And gameplay wise, the Iron Man stuff, really neat, like being able to fly around. The gunplay is good. There's not really a lot of it's fine.
My issue with it was really, and I don't know if they adapted it. It's not the gunplay. There's no feedback.
When you hit somebody, I feel like you're kind of like, you know, you're hitting somebody. So like you're.
Well, I meant more like there's like the guns don't recoil. The
guns don't feel. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, it's like it's so weightless.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, in terms of pointing at something and shooting, it's doing what I need it to do. But yes, there's no kind of feel to the different guns, like outside of their rate of fire. Like an assault rifle kind of like works on like a kind of like a burst type thing. The scout rifle is a single shot. The, you know, light machine gun is just consistent automatic fire. But yeah, there's no weight to it. You're right on that, Earl. But overall, I mean, the gameplay, just flying around, shooting enemies and shit, works fine for me. It's fine. One of the things, also the mission structure, really, like, missions are like 15, 20 minutes long. Like they don't take long. If you have somebody who has a short attention span, like some of the people I'm playing with, it works quite well for that. Trying to play the story, though, which is something I never got very far in when it first came out. You hit a quest about a third of the way through the game that is then like, hey, you have to do all these challenges to actually progress in the game. And some of those challenges require you to like play in a public zone, and do like world events and find stuff in the public area. And I mean, it's fine because I'm playing with, you know, two other people, and we can just jump into a public area. But I thought the game was completely playable single player, and no, you have to kind of like engage with the multiplayer stuff. So at some point that game will not be playable any longer, because you just won't be able to access. If they shut those servers off, it's done. You're just not gonna be able to kind of move forward in it, which is kind of shitty because there's no reason for you to have to engage with that. Like, it doesn't make sense. Just let me do, you know, bounties and quests and story missions. Don't make me go do the dumb shit. But flying around is fun in the Iron Man suit. That's neat, I guess. Jeff, do you play anything else besides Avowed, you finished Marvel, right?
I did not finish it. I played a lot of Marvel's Midnight Suns, and I think I'm on the last battle of that game and was like losing, but so I did not beat it. Like, I was having trouble with the final boss, whatever you want to call it.
You're pretty close though.
Yeah. Good game for sure. Like, especially I think I paid $10 for it. Like, if you get it for $10, holy shit, dude. It's awesome. Like, if you're into like Marvel and or card games, it's very, very solid. And also, again, like $10. This is like, the game is like way, way longer than I expected it to be. It is a very long game. I think I've done like you know, it's like the structure is like Dungeons of Hindenburg, where every day you go out, you do a dungeon or do a mission in this case, and then you come back to your like home, hang out with people, go to bed, right? Like that's how it works. I've done like 60 plus of those now.
That's
so tricky. Yeah, it's not short. It's got a lot to it, and some of the later battles are like pretty fucking, they'll make you think about strategy a little bit. So I'm a fan of Midnight Suns. Will I beat the final mission? I don't know. Like, I tried it a few times and kept failing. But there was another mission like that, you know, like a day or so before, where I was also stuck on. I was like, oh, I guess this is the end of it. Like, you know, I don't care enough. You know, I paid $10 for this game. I don't care enough to, like, keep fucking around. And I got pat. Like, I stepped away for a day. Went back to that one and beat it. So, Maybe I just go back. Yeah.
Maybe playing a little bit of Avowed for a little bit, and you go back and a few days.
Be able I can't to see it. That helping, but.
Also, you played the Night Rain Network test.
I did. That's kind of like, yeah, a big one. Is that?
Yeah, Select I almost few. Forgot. Almost forgot about it.
Select few got to play the new Elden Ring game, and I was one of them. And I actually. I think there was like 5 or 6 network. It was weird because like usually they'll just do like a network test weekend, and if you get in, you just like play all weekend, right?
Right.
And like with this, it was like from 7 to 10, or you know, from like 9 PM to midnight, you could play, or from like 3 AM to 6 AM, you could play. It was pretty annoying. But, I got to play, I'd say I got to play at least 7 to 8 hours of the new Elden Ring / Elden Ring Fortnite edition. It's yeah, so when, different. When, it's so when, different, dude.
When you explained that, I was like, oh, that does not sound like what I was expecting.
So, I thought I had meant to talk about what it was, Like when it first got announced, like in my head, it was just a new fucking Elden. Like, it was like they're just it's their new game. Like, they're new, like, you know, it's like Elden Ring 2, but it's fucking
three player, you
know,
co-op.
Yeah, it's like, oh, which again, it's not fair to the original Elden Ring because you could basically play the whole game together. But you know, hey, let's just make it like multiplayer focused from the bat, and that's what's gonna be. It's not that at all, man. Like, it is so different. Like, it kind of, like, it controls and stuff kind of feel like it controls, and, like, you know, the graphics and, like, what the world looks like, the art and stuff. Like, it looks like Elden Ring, but it is so Fortnite edition. And I say that as someone who, like, does not play Fortnite, but I've seen that's what, like, most people will compare it to.
To kind of go over what Jeff just said, it's run based. So it's not a persistent world, and Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong. There's a storm, basically a ring that shrinks on you, and if you're outside of it, you're going to take damage. So
you're going to die.
Oh my God.
just like Fortnite.
Fortnite does that where, like, I know that the, like, I've played PUBG and stuff like that where, like, the map shrinks.
Yeah.
So, like, is the way that they work it in those games, like, oh, as it shrinks, like, if once you're outside of it, like, you're getting damaged, you're dying?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. This does not show you where it's going to shrink to. So you just have to, like, look around. Like, you have to, like, look around. Like, there's no map. Like, so, like, you have to, like, look around at the horizon and see, like, where the blue is, and look where the blue is moving in, and go, oh, I should probably move this way. I should probably move, like, northwest. And, like, yeah, if you get caught in it, say goodnight. So, like, the goal of the game is to survive three nights. And in the day, you fuck around, and in the night, you find out. And that's basically how it works. Like, like, in the day, you're like, I quickly realized that, like, I don't have to stick with my homies, my random homies. Like, at first I was just following them because I figured they know where they're going.
Right.
And you'll quickly learn that they do not. But
it's like Fortnite.
Yeah. So, like, but then you just go, okay, I'm going to go do my thing. And it's going to naturally force you guys together at the end. So the day you're like resource gathering.
Or something. Or
what's that?
Would it be to, like, force you together to fight a boss, or?
Yeah. It's okay. And it forces you together with the shrinking map. So, like, during the day, you go around, just explore wherever you want, and you're getting items, and you're leveling up. And the way the leveling up works is, like, it's very, like, it's similar to Elden Ring, except when you go to, like, a bonfire or whatever, you just hit A to level up. Like, you're not choosing anything. It, like, just levels up all your stats.
Because you're picking a class, and it's just
like... Yeah, that's just it. Like, it's very different. Like, same yet different. Like, it's like...
Right.
It's very much like, this is like a quick multiplayer game. And, you know, it's like an hour... Like, picture it as like an hour-long multiplayer game. Like, you're gonna invest and see if you have a good run. And, it, you know, most times the run's gonna go bad, but hey... Maybe you'll level up, like, you run to the right things, level up enough, blah, blah, blah. Every night, the map shrinks, you get focus in on this little area, you fight a boss, and that's how it works. I got through two nights many times, and the third, I thought there was, like, a third day that I was not getting to, but it was actually, like, it goes straight from the second night to the boss of the third day. I think that's what it is. Like, and I don't know if the actual release will be different than that, but, like, it literally just kind of, like, if you survive the second night, you're going to the third day and fighting that boss, and that's it. Never got past that last. I got close. We got very close. Like, we had a boss with, he had, like, 1/5 of his health left, maybe. So, like, maybe we could have, like, squeaked out and got it, but, like, that's all it is, and it's pretty fun. Like, by the end of it, well, let me put it this way: every time I got to play, I was starting to go, okay, I have 3 hours to play, and every time I would play the full 3 hours, and by the end of it, I was like, I would like to play that more for sure. It's just very different than, like, a regular From Software game. It is very much the Fortnite edition. Like, I don't know what else to say about it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's interesting and it's fun. Like, I mean, I'm having a fun enough time with it. Like, I want to play it more. But I remember thinking, like, when I was playing it, it was like, this just feels like it should have been a mode in Elden Ring 2. Like, you know, you add this to it as, like, just a cool, like, fun, like, throwaway type thing, and they're, like, releasing it as its own game. I will give them credit, though, because I like literally looked up after playing it for a bit, because I'm like, there's no way, are they charging full price for this? And it's only a $40 game, so, like, that, I don't know, it feels like it could, like, especially, like, I'm seeing, like, a slice of it. Like, I think there's, like, 4 classes available, and the classes actually do matter in this, because they're, I think there's going to be 8 in the final game. And, of course, they could keep the game fresh with, like, changing the map and the bosses and stuff. So,
quick question for you, and you might not know, but can you I mean, I guess you would know because you played. Do you get to see who your teammates are picking class-wise?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so like you can kind of build.
You like, oh, this guy's insistent on having the fucking the wizard or whatever. He's like, I guess I'll do something else. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Or you could like, there were times where like both of us wanted to play as the wizard, and third guy. So, or like you're completely unbalanced. That's kind of on you though, because you can see what they're choosing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was just wondering. Interesting. I don't think it's gonna be for me, but
it's fun, dude. Like it is fun. It's something that like I would just be like I would tell anyone to check out if like I would recommend more people that are into that type of game than people that are into Elden Ring. Like that's how different it is. It's like if you're super into like multiplayer games with your buddies, like if you like playing with like two friends, this is something to look into because like I could see it being very addictive, and it is not, it's not Elden Ring. It's its own. It's totally different.
So. And I do wonder if being able to just kind of like auto level basically, like because like you pick the mage and like it's just gonna upgrade your stats. The optimal way for a mage and give you like what you need, you could probably learn to play a build quicker. You'd have to too, because it's only like an hour for a run.
Yeah.
So you'd learn, you could like specialize and kind of like learn how to focus on that if you're playing with two other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
I think that like, again, I think anyone here, I think you guys are like more inclined to like this game than I am, to be honest. Like it's one of the, like if you're like into horde mode, if you're into anything like horde mode, I think you would really fucking dig this. Yeah, it is just like I just have to note it is so different than it's not a core one of those games at all.
Got it. All right, well, that's what we've been playing. Earl?
What's up, Doc?
It's time to... time. Time for the movies.
Time for the movies. We are continuing onward with the second video game movie released in 1994. It is Double Dragon, which stars, I think of everybody in this movie, it's probably Simonano and Robert Patrick that people know. Yes. Scott Wolf sounds like a name I should know. I'm sure I know him from something.
Bro, did you not watch Party of Five?
No.
Wait, what?
Did you not watch Party of Five?
That is
Party of Five. Nev Campbell, right? Like, I don't think I ever actually watched it, but...
Okay.
I do know Party of Five.
All right. I didn't imagine this.
No, so that
also, he was in a great movie called Go. Yeah, is that what you just said, Earl?
Oh, no. I don't know. Like, I know his face. Apparently, he makes a random appearance in the first Ninja Turtles movie.
He is like a TV actor.
Okay. But he doesn't
know. Party of Five is probably his big thing. In movies, he's in that movie Go. I don't know if you've ever seen Go. It's a very fun movie from the 90s.
Yeah. I've seen Go.
But yeah, he's still doing, like, I'm sure he's on some fucking hospital or cop show right now.
Let's see. He is on a hospital show right now.
Exactly, dude. It's fucking network TV, man.
It's on a medical drama series that just started this year called Doc on Fox.
And there'll be fucking, yeah, exactly. And you know what's funny? Scott Wolf was actually like a good, like in my opinion, like a good actor. He was my favorite character on Party of Five.
Oh,
I guess a show that nobody remembers.
That's where I know him from. He's on the Night Shift, which is a really stupid doctor show on NBC. And like the
2010s. So yeah, he found his lane and he's in it, but he's actually a pretty good actor. Like actually, I think super underrated actor.
Is this what Jeff?
Not here.
I was gonna say, is this what Jeff tells us he's a fan of Double Dragon?
He's fine. Like, none of this is his fault.
I think most of this movie could be just chalked up as it's fine, I guess.
Mm.
I will say, and this is going to be a story for this whole series, is every time I've seen these movies, it's been with copious amount of alcohol. I think until we get to like Resident Evil and I know all this stuff. Mortal Kombat's a bit different. But I always enjoy this movie, and I rewatched it this weekend. And what part of this did I? Again, I don't think it's bad, but it, like, in my head, it was a lot more enjoyable than it is. I find it dumber. What I actually found fascinating now watching it is actually paying attention to the movie and realizing, like, oh, you're actually trying to do stuff from the game. It just does not work. Like, his assistant, Linda. She's like one of the regular characters with the whip, like a boss character. And then Adobo, they give him that form because that's a character in Double Dragon, that boss character. The two henchmen, whose name I forget, are just like generic thugs in Double Dragon. So they're doing all of this. And then the actual plot of the movie has nothing to do with the video game.
Yeah. So the Double Dragon medallions, not a thing from the game, right? It's just some weird shit.
You know what the video game is? The video game is Deadbeat at Dawn. It's they stole my girlfriend. I gotta kill them. Like,
well, I mean, we won Deadbeat at Dawn.
They killed his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But, like, when, like, again, you're adapting this, right? You're like, okay, we need to make a Double Dragon movie. What's the plot of the game? Oh, the gang steals his girlfriend. Him and his bro are going to fuck shit up until it's literally like John Wick, and you could have just done that.
Yeah, you could have.
There's like 11 million movies with that as a plot, right?
Yes, like, yeah. Instead, we gotta make it, I guess, for kids, or more like what they think a video game is. I don't know. You need the two medallions, and there's all this fucking bullshit. There is so much, like, also, that's getting ahead of you, Earl, because I feel like you're presenting this or whatever, but, like, what is the deal with, like, these 90s video game adaptations, but it has to be, like, a dystopia? Like, no matter what, it's a dystopia. I'm not knocking it because it's the most interesting part of the movie.
I was gonna say, it's not this one, it is a dystopia, but I feel like it's a lot more like it doesn't look dystopian. Like, the big dystopia is like, oh, the cops can't come out at night, but most of the movie takes place during the day, anyhow. Everybody got water, the kids are hanging out in some sewer area playing games.
Full arcade in that sewer area.
Okay, awesome. Just and of course they have Double Dragon as one of the games you can play there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then it's not even like in the background. It's really in a scene.
It's like kicks into it.
Yes. Yeah.
And he stays there for like a good like 30 seconds, so you know it's Double Dragon. But yes, and here's the thing. Like I said, I've seen this before. In my head, and this makes more sense, I always thought the Double Dragon was like, oh, it's like the two brothers coming together.
That's what it is.
I completely forgot it was a medallion.
Like, the video game is just a reference to that you could play two player. That's all it is. It's not, there's nothing to do.
I thought it was like they needed both hats and a medallion, and they were secretly the Double Dragon. No, the medallion works for whoever has it. So
yeah,
it works by themselves.
You don't even need the whole medallion.
You're more powerful when you have both. But yes, this is the thing. I think I said this before. This is the thing that I find fascinating with Double Dragon. Like Jeff says, the game itself is very simple. It's a beat 'em up. They stole Marianne, your girlfriend. You're going to get her back. I think at one point they do replicate that in the game. The non-boyfriend brother gets kidnapped and turns evil on you. and then you fight and then, you know, break the curse or whatever. They kind of do that here. But the thing I was going to bring up is it's a very simple premise, but somehow it makes no sense when it goes out of there, because the Double Dragon cartoon, they are literal like dragons with magical swords, and they can turn and take the dragon spirit in their head. Certain, and then this has the medallion. I'm like, what about Double? Like, you just saw the name Double Dragon. Like, oh, they have to be dragons. It has to be something magic. There's nothing magical in the video games. I don't know why mysticism comes into any adaptation about this property. But yeah,
it's literally like the game was like the Warriors, or you know what I mean? Like it's
yeah,
just like
and that would have been a great way to do
that's
it.
That's what it should be. Yeah, that's what it should be.
I don't even know why it's said in the futuristic, well, past now, but futuristic California.
You know what's so funny is I thought they were going to turn into like really bad CGI dragons at the end. And they just turn into Mortal Kombat characters.
Yes, thank you. my review of it that I wrote this morning on social media was Double Dragon is a low budget child of Three Ninjas and early access to the Mortal Kombat costume department.
It really looks very similar.
Yeah,
like it's absurd. Like they just like
yeah, I mean have I
shit with stuff taped to it.
Yeah, I think they were trying to mimic like the cover of like Super Double Dragon, but like it's very shiny for some reason. Mm-hmm. And again, they make and I think the Mario movie does this as well. They want to make it a big deal, so they get these costumes. Like, oh man, do we get to keep these? I'm like, why do you want to keep those? Like, the Street Girls are better. Robert Patrick is kind of a non-entity. Like, he's a bad guy, but he's not terrible bad guy. Kicks several times. He fails to kill them like three times. The only person who dies is their I did not realize she was their adoptive mom. I'm like, you look the same age as they do.
Yeah, the movie starts out like them at like some underground karate tournament. Yeah,
it's a little confusing. She's like Splinter.
Yeah, well, I thought it was like one of their girlfriends or something.
Same thing. Very again, like that part of it, like that aspect of it, feels like it was written by like a fucking 8-year-old who has like no understanding of anything. They're just like, oh, well, they live with this girl and she takes care of them. You know what I mean? Like it just does not make sense.
No, not at all.
No. And I will say one of my favorite things I actually thought is how the cars are kind of, I mean, it's going from Back to the Future 2, where the cars are kind of powered by just trash.
So like that, like honestly, like the dystopian future, whatever, like, all right, there's like an establishing shot outside of like a building. Like you're just looking at like a skyscraper or something. And like, you see someone, it looks like they're at a telephone booth, but it's an oxygen bar. And someone was like yelling at him, like, I need to get in here. I need the oxygen. And like, there's actually like a lot of throwaway stuff like that in the movie that honestly, I think like to, at least for me viewing this now 30 years later, like helped me with it. Cause I was just like, at least there's something interesting going on in this. Like, I don't know how you guys felt about like that stuff. Like I got a kick out of that. Like when the guy's like, I just got here, man. And he's like trying to suck the oxygen.
I think I would have enjoyed a story set in that dystopian future that wasn't this goofy.
And had anything movie. To do with any of that? Like, yes. Also, like,
just have it in like this New Angeles setting.
2007.
The distant future, 2007. And some of it would have been exciting. But yeah, and most. Most of the movie is really the guy trying to get the medallion from them because he has one.
It's fucking Robert Patrick mugging for fucking an hour and a half.
Yes. And for some reason.
Which is fun. He's fun.
Being allergic to the sunlight, which is part of his undoing at the end of the movie. It's stupid. It has its charm. It is fun at times. But I watched this on Sunday and I'm sitting there trying to remember what the hell happened in between I remember the beginning, the fight. I remember the car chase. I remember the movie theater fight, which is the one where the surrogate mom throws up.
Yep.
Because I don't know why she couldn't just open that door. Like, it wasn't like she was buying them time. They were just outside. There's a boat chase. Actually, I do like that when they go through like that gang territory. I mean, there's some decent fights in here, I think. But yeah, you said it's like three ninjas and Mortal Kombat. It feels like somebody saw Power Rangers and was like, yes, just do that. We'll make this very cheesy martial arts movie with color-coded characters.
Sure, yeah.
Because, yeah, like, again, I'm not saying the game's not R, it's not M, but the game does have a kind of a bent to it, and this movie is very campy. This would not
It's be... very, like, I'll give it credit, this movie's terrible, but it's entertaining, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, fast-paced, it's breezy, it's got, like, kind of, like, interesting ideas mixed in. It's very silly, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of what we're dealing with here. It's like this, a crazy mix of stupid, which is fine. Like,
yeah,
it is one of those movies you could like define as so bad that it's good, which very few movies are like actually like able to do.
And I think they do a good. I will say they do a good job of keeping it an hour and a half, because I think any longer this movie. It does kind of wear out its welcome, but I think it's long enough, and there's enough happening that you're engaged, because it moves from like one stupid set piece to these characters being stupid, to Robert Patrick eating everything in the scene, to like again some really stupid subplots, random cameos from Andy Dick and Vanna White,
and Vanna White is a newswoman.
Yeah.
See, like, it has like those things like I really dig on, like shit like that. I don't know. It was like I watched this like in a morning when I had a day off, and
you were in a good mood. Maybe you liked it more than you should have.
No, I'm not saying that. Like, it's the perfect like. I'm hungover on a Sunday morning, and I'm like doing laundry. Type, you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing some shit, but like,
kind of watch it in the background.
Shit. Yeah, here's some dumb background.
Like I said, it's, I mean, probably why it's on like every free streaming service we're looking at. I mean, I do.
There's actually, probably a $50 fucking 4K you could buy of this at this point.
I was gonna say, I do actually own it. I do. I don't own the 4K. I own there was a DVD, a Blu-ray special edition that came out a few years ago that I picked up and I crack into it because apparently I had watched it before, but it's an interesting movie. I will grant them that. I don't think I was ever bored watching it.
I'll say this, like, I had no clue this existed. Like, I had literally no clue this existed. Apparently it wasn't
really you never saw this before, Jeff?
No, I mean, none of these. I think the last video game movie I saw was Super Mario Brothers or something. You know what I mean? Like, I just.
Oh, then you're gonna. There's a few.
I'm not going through all that. I ain't signed up for this fucking. You're like, yeah, watch this. I'll say this. Like, I was like entertained enough. Like, it really is kind of a so bad it's good.
Yeah.
Or like, you gotta see it to believe it. It's one of those. Like, it's just so like. What the fuck is Robert Patrick doing here? Like, what is this? Like, he turns into Paper Mario like three times in the fucking movie. Like, what is this?
I did like that effect. where he turns into like a 2D thing.
He turns into Paper Mario, falls flat on the floor, and slithers out as a shadow on the floor.
So like, tall. Oh.
Also, what the fuck? Alyssa Milano looks like the Legend of Billie Jean in this. Like,
she's so bad. They butchered her hair.
Turned one of the hottest, like, at her time. Like, should have been one of the hottest. Like, fucking, it's turned into it. Billie Jean! What is the, like, what was that punk, like neon look we were going for in 1990. Like, or when did this come out?
1994.
Yeah.
So she was 20 years old then.
Okay, so I can say it.
She's 22 years old. Sorry. She got engaged to Scott Wolf. During the filming of this.
I don't know why I always assume, like, Scott Wolf comes across to me as like a gay actor, but
hey, maybe he is. I don't know.
Or maybe I'm right.
He was engaged to her in 1993. So while this filmed through the premiere, and then they broke up a year and a half after.
Wow.
That, so.
I mean, nothing says romance like Double Dragon,
right?
Didn't work out.
So I'm assuming, because he's quiet, Tony did not watch this.
I did not watch it. No, I
saved your life.
I have better things to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, like, I didn't hate that I watched this because I was like kind of amused. It's kind of like watching the Super Mario Brothers movie where we're just like, what the fuck? But like, I don't know. Like,
so,
go ahead.
So having watched, I went back, you know, after I had seen Super Mario Brothers originally.
Yeah,
I went back and watched it after we talked about it a month ago. And you guys were like, you know, it's more interesting than good. It is. Like, there's at least something interesting in Super Mario. I did not find much interesting in Double Dragon. Like,
well, here, I think it has an advantage over Super Mario Bros., which is like, I think I tried to explain my opinion on this at the time when we talked about it, where Super Mario Bros. Is like, no human would ever come up with this as a movie idea. Like, none of it, like, it's like you're sticking a square peg into a fucking round hole trying to make a movie. Like, it doesn't make, like, why would you come up with, like, these plumbers? Like, nothing, you know?
Yeah, it's
nothing.
Insane.
Here, it's like, you're just taking a stupid, like... Like, I could picture this as, like, a 1986 canon movie.
Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
this is the golden child.
If they were trying to make like a friendly movie, like,
because the story, they took the super generic story of Double Dragon the game and trashed that, like, threw that away, and then created a super generic story of like some mystical amulet that we can't let the big bad guy get. Also, the big bad guy only wants to control one city in the United States.
That is the best part of the whole fucking movie, is when Robert Patrick is like, I just want to control one goddamn major American city!
Such a dumb line. Love it.
It's so great. Like, all I want, and I'm the supreme evil dude, all I want is one major American city.
All right. Where are we at with this, Earl?
But next up is Mortal Kombat. So he's one that I think most people have seen and enjoy. So, oh wait, no, sorry, not theater. Sorry, it's not Mortal Kombat. Street Fighter.
Oh no, that one's even worse.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. But we got to rank this one, right?
Got to rank it.
Yeah, we have our little tier list here. Or
I don't know. Sometimes, like, true art, it feels weird ranking.
All right. Well, we got S+, S, A, B, C, D, F. Jeff, where do you put Double Dragon? For reference, you put Super Mario Brothers at
I think
C.
It's. Yeah, and I think this is like. It's again, it's like kind of entertaining, but the entertainment is like how bad it is. And so then, like, I got kind of split the difference and just say C as well.
Right. Earl?
Yeah, I'm going C. I think it's entertaining. I just think it's not good.
Exactly. That's exactly
it's
it.
Entertaining.
That's what it is.
I think what Jeff was saying is that I would, if this was on, let's say, you know, back when they used to show movies in the afternoon, if I saw this on like a 2 p.m. on a Sunday, like, yeah, I'd watch it. It would catch my eye. It'd be entertained. But outside of like, you know, getting drunk with friends soon, I don't know the next time I'd want to be like, yeah, I want to watch Double Dragon. But I would never hate if I happened to catch it while I was on.
I mean, I don't think I'd be in a position where I'd be watching. When I was a kid, like I had it, you know, I had a TV in my room and I could only get like two channels. And one of them was like the Sunday movie channel.
Yeah.
Like,
Saturday and Sunday, they would do movies all day. Yeah.
I would watch nonsense like this. I mean, a lot of times it was like, you know, 80s horror films or
80s horror or canon. Or canon, yeah. Like, you know, American Ninja or Delta Force.
Yes.
Like, it was, but all stuff like that.
But yes, if this was on then, I would probably also watch it. I would not seek this movie out ever again.
No, it's garbage cinema.
I'm going a little bit rougher than you guys. I'm putting it at a D. Tony, yeah. You didn't watch it, but from our discussion, where would you place this?
Oh my god, I got to go with D. There's no way. Like there's a reason I rejected this movie to begin with.
I think there's enough dystopian ideas that are kind of fun, like, and like it's the news coverage and stuff like that, like. It was like really weird how it was like scattershot of like actually interesting ideas in it and then like just stupid bullshit. I don't know. I could go much lower than C. Like I was like, it's terrible, but.
Well, I think between the two C's and the D, and we don't have a middle one, so we don't have a D+. I think we just leave it as a C for our joint list.
Okay. Let me put it this way though, to end it up. Like, I don't watch a lot of video game movies because I don't see a lot of value in them, but I would rather watch this or the Super Mario Brothers original than like the new Tomb Raider movie that came out.
I don't mind that one, but that is something we'll
get. I was just saying, like, that one is just, there's nothing interesting about it. Nothing interesting about it.
That one, most than any, is very much trying to be.
It's just a movie. It's just a movie.
Like, it's also trying to be the new game. And
like this was interesting to watch, where I was like, wow, that's a choice.
So let me ask you this, Jeff. Like Tomb Raider from, I don't remember exactly when that Tomb Raider movie 2018? Came out.
Yeah.
2018. Okay. So would you watch the Angelina Jolie movie?
I've never seen either of them, but I would rather see like this creative mess, like that the early 90s was, than like these like really bland
2018 early.
You know, yeah, just trying to like just adapting the video game. And like, again, the video game was just already a ripoff of what movies were. Like, you know what I mean? It's like there's just nothing.
Fair enough.
I mean, I will say that like adaptations have gotten better, and that like I thought that the first season of The Last of Us was very good, but for the most part, I'm not interested in seeing it. Like, there's like an Until Dawn one coming out. I'm just like, dude, I played the Until Dawn movie. It was the game. Like that's what Until Dawn was a movie.
It's
like,
literally a movie game.
I don't need to see the movie of the game of the movie that I just played. Like,
oh yeah.
To be fair, the movie looks like it has nothing to do with the game.
So it's gonna be terrible. Like that's, you know, I don't know.
So Earl, you said Street Fighter next. Yes. So that would be the most successful video game movie up to this point. Double Dragon bombed completely. Only made $4 million box office.
I swear to God, I never heard of it.
I mean, that's totally fair. Like Chris says it bombed. A Double Dragon isn't like the biggest franchise in the world.
No. Just still, it just feels like I would have heard of it at the time if it was like a thing, and it was not. like Mortal Kombat. I was there. I remember I had strep throat. I fucking rode my bike to fucking the mall to go see Mortal Kombat. So that's the difference. Like,
Street Fighter has the benefit of also at the time having Jean-Claude Van Damme, who was pretty big action star in the late 80s, early 90s.
I've never been able to play that game. So like, I just was like, I'll skip that. And again, when Mortal Kombat came out, I had played that Mortal Kombat. I played both Mortal Kombat. So I was like super stoked. I fucking was sick as a dog. I went to go see that movie.
Yeah. And I think, like Chris says, Street Fighter has the benefit of actually having been a pretty, and I think at the time, I forget if it was after the movie, because that was like Raul Julia's final role, so he had passed away, you know, so that they had that going, and they had, you know, John Trott was a big action star at the time. Mario, I think, had the note of being Mario, but it's a kid's franchise, and it's a very, like, PG-13 movie.
It should have been smoking cigarettes, I feel like, those two guys.
You'll get into, I think, most of the first, I mean, I guess Street Fighter does well, but Mortal Kombat is like the big one. It's the first one that will do that actually has the sequel.
It's one of the few ones that I've ever broke through before recent era. Like,
I would say that, and I think the first Tomb Raider does well. Because Angelina, and then Resident Evil
is
the
big
one. And then I think
kind of, I guess.
There's a lot of junk in between there. Because the one I was going to mention that will come up to very soon that I always forget exists and most people do is Wing Commander.
Wing Commander. I can't wait.
Oh, God.
I've seen Wing Commander.
I've seen Wing Commander, too.
I saw it in the theater.
Oh, I did not see all that.
You're going to be calling in sick a lot.
Can't wait to talk about Wing Commander, which was directed by Chris Roberts, who is currently taking forever to release Star Citizen. So,
wait, what? It's the guy who...
The video game designer, directed the movie.
Okay.
Hey.
Oh, because he
created Control, baby.
He's the creator of the Wing Commander series.
And he does. He can direct movies.
He knows best.
Yep. He knows best.
We'll come to Tubi very soon.
The only movie he ever directed. So
yeah, he's producer on one of my favorite movies, though. So I'll give him that. I love Ducky Number 7. I do enjoy good movies. Do you not like it?
I just feels like a movie that got forgotten.
Yeah, it probably is. It's a very niche, but I like the film noir. It's a great cast.
Yeah, I kind of remember it. Yeah,
fun. Next up is Street Fighter. I know we're getting long in the tooth, but I did want to mention at least one piece of news this week, which is the NetEase layoffs, because now we can add, you can have a highly successful game and still get fired.
That's right.
Yeah. So what saves you in the video game industry?
Owning the studio that you work for.
Yeah, I guess that's it. We all need to strive to be Chris Roberts and just have people pay you money for 15 years on end.
Yeah. This was, I mean, just for context, NetEase developers, publishers of Marvel Rivals, which came out in December, massive, massive hit. I think they said they generated like $2 plus billion of revenue since the game came out. I could be wrong in that number, but it wouldn't surprise me. And of course, it comes out that most of their the developers got laid off this week because the game's up and running now, and we can just have all Chinese studios.
That's right.
Do support for it. So yay, you're out of a job. The positive, I think, ways for them is, I'm assuming somebody's going to be like, you launched this massive, like, if I'm Warner Brothers right now, you launched this massive Marvel title, come do the same thing for DC. we shall see. But yes, I just wanted to bring that up because, again, we talk about how mean and nasty this industry is, and I'm never going to be like, you know, people should get laid off or anything like that. So when, like, oh, this game didn't meet expectations, those expectations.
Yeah, and Marvel Rivals clearly making expectations.
Yeah, now it's like, no, okay, we don't need you anymore. And it's like, wow, there is no hope for this industry if that's how everybody gets treated.
All right, well, we'll probably have some news next week. We went a little long with our Double Dragon talk this week, but we'll be back.
Movies.
Yes. We'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.